Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. This is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast. And Skeeter, we're getting ready for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. But before we do that, Lee, let's take a look back at the Honda Classic, one of my favorite non-big deal tournaments, if you will. One of my favorite just regular tour stops on the tour. And quite frankly, it didn't disappoint with the excitement. I'm not sure that, as we were just kind of pre-show discussing, we loved the way it finished in the rain. But the Honda Classic, once again, grinds some guys up. Some of that, of course, is because it's a par 70, not a par 72. But I thought it was a wonderful tournament once again, where it wasn't a birdie fest, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the water on the course just makes it so vulnerable. And yeah, like, you wake up Thursday morning and checking the scores, like, oh man, there's already golfers four over after three holes. Like, well, that's kind of the way this course is. And you see 78s and just like, oh man, it's brutal. And, you know, we weren't sure we were going to get an exciting weekend with Daniel Berger so far ahead, but Sunday pressure kind of got to him. Lowry played well, and then all of a sudden, here comes Sepp Straka out of nowhere to take it down.
Kudos to Daniel Berger, who I think after two rounds was 10 under and said that could be the winning score. I'm sure he had hoped it was his score, but he called it. He did call it 2 days in that could be the winning score. And boy, he had a tough day on Sunday. A couple of other bets, DraftKings plays that I had tough days on Sunday, but you're right. Straka, man, he was making, not only was he I won't say he came from nowhere, right? Cause he was in the third to last, second to last group, I think one of the two, but he didn't really seem to be one of the guys we thought of as a contender. And then all of a sudden he's making 18, 20 footers on the second half of that back nine. And it was like, hey, wait a minute. He's the guy to beat now. There's your clubhouse number. All of a sudden gets all the way to 10 under when it was 4 under or whatever, 5 under, whatever Gary Woodland was for a while until Kitayama got in there.
Yeah. And the back nine seemed like playing tough. Cause even Saturday, like, okay, Saturday's moving day. Oh, there's some good scores going on in the front. And all of a sudden, I look at some of those early golf, like, oh, they ended up like four over par for the day. Like, oh, must have gotten trouble in the back. But, it's a nice change of pace to see tougher scores that were, it still played pretty fair.
Yeah, I thought so.
I mean, I think I like API a little bit better because I think there's a little more scoring, but, you know, not a ton. But I don't know, I always like the four par fives. So
I do from a DraftKings perspective because I'm like, okay, I've got one of these guys and I'm looking for an eagle or a tap-in birdie. Just from a sheer entertainment purpose, I do like that Honda Classic. But as you mentioned the API, are you ready to move on to it?
Yeah, outside of the fact that, man, my streak of, you know, betting golf outrights for a year and a month and a half now, I've only hit one outright winner. But, man, I've had two close calls this year, Henley at Sony and Lowry yesterday. Like, I feel like I'm close, but man, just can't quite
feel
get
you
there.
I feel you. I thought going into Sunday, Chris Kirk was going to make a push for me, and he was there until 15, but a triple bogey on 15, and went from hoping to cash a 60-1 winner to not even cashing the 12-1 top six. But that's okay. That is golf, and I'm ready to get to the API, a tournament where I can say I've hit a winner before, Tyrrell Hatton, a couple of years ago. So let's hit another winner here.
That works for me.
It is the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We're going to see a little bit of a ramping up of the players in this field. I don't think it's the full field that we'll see next week, but a good one nonetheless. And it's at Bay Hill Country Club in Orlando, Florida. Skeeter, you mentioned it. There will be a little bit more lower scoring relative to par anyway. So what are we looking for here at the Bay Hill?
Yeah, not a ton of, there'll be some scoring opportunities here, but the cut's usually over par. It is a 120-person field, so top 65 in ties, so 6-6 will be vital to play the weekend, unless we just see all the popular plays end up missing the cut. But yeah, it's par 72, 7,400 yards. Water on 9 of the 18 holes will kind of play away. Maybe it plays a little bit longer just there's so many forced layups with the some of the water on the holes that kind of forces players to, you know, not be able to just go for the, you know, pull out drivers. They'll have to play for position with their three woods or even long irons. So that's why we see like proximity from 200 plus yards plays such a huge factor. And, you know, I think it's something like 30% of the shots come from 200 plus yards just because of the forced layups. Par threes are all 200 yards or longer, par fives. So those are just kind of things to look at. Tee to green, of course, I'm going to look at approach. Scrambling, just because there's enough water and the rough is pretty thick. I think I saw a picture last week on
I saw that.
That rough looked, oof, that looked U.S. Open-ish.
It looked like some thick salad.
Yeah, it was just like my hair was until my haircut last week.
I cannot relate.
Well, you know what? I might save money if my hair didn't want to come back. But, but you know, I'm not going to complain because people would love to have full, you know, still have growing hair. Birdie's a better bogey avoidance, and then since there's four par fives, I'll look at that. So, no Bryson, so we kind of saw him kind of dominate the course last year. I actually didn't get to watch this tournament last year. I was, had a death in the family that I had to travel for, so I was following on Shot Track, but really never got to watch it on TV. So I, you know, it was like days after when I finally saw the Bryson tee shot where he put his arms up in the air. So, I don't have much memory from last year simply because of that. Also, the fact that I was really mad as I'm going on this, like, how in the world did I not bet Lee Westwood at, what, 100-1 or something? Here is one, you know, basically contending. Like, that's what I was really mad about because I think I used him in DFS.
Those are the things I definitely remember from last year. I was already talking to a friend of mine today about no Bryson show, so the circus will not be on hole number six, the par five that circles around the lake. Throw away the fact that I drafted him with my first overall pick in our league. So I'm a little upset that we haven't seen Bryson play yet with the wrist injury. And it sounds like from what I read today, the players may be out that Augusta is now more along the lines of what he's looking for. I hope that I read some misinformation because I didn't get that from like a reliable source. Or maybe I did. I was scrolling Twitter and I read that. But I hope he's back sooner than later for that. But, I mean, even without that, my own personal selfishness, I'm disappointed not to see him because it was a pretty good show. Like, and it was the thing where I would text a group and saying, hey, Bryson's on five. Get ready to get near a TV. So I did like that. And then, of course, it was Lee Westwood's resurgence, which you and I both like Lee Westwood. You maybe a little more than myself, but I like him as well. So those are the two things I really liked from last year. But no Bryson on six as the defending champion. So it wasn't that he just made a circus out of that show, that hole, but he won the tournament too. So it wasn't as if he was just being crazy. It was good TV. I will miss that, but still got a good field here, man. And it'll be interesting to see if anybody else is going to try and take on any kind of a crazy line on hole six, because now it's got to be in players' head. They've had a year to think about it. So even with no Bryson there, it'll be interesting.
I mean, I actually love it. Like, it forces strategy. Like, you know, do you want under 100 yards for your second shot, even if you're in the rough? Because, I mean, mm-hmm. There's no way to hold a fairway. Like, I love those. I love that strategic element, too. It's like, and boy, if you mishit it or you hook it left, I mean, you're teeing three because there's no, it's, you're not crossing land any, you know.
The tee box is your point of entry. Yeah, the end of the tee box, yeah.
So I just think that it adds a really interesting strategy element. And, you know, maybe if Cameron Champ potentially has the capability. I mean, I don't think Rob or Rory would be trying to pull this one off.
Is Cam Young, I might be misremembering something I heard from a week ago. Obviously, it was when he contended at Riviera. Did they say he was the second longest player off in the field in the tour last year behind Bryson? Or am I misremembering that crazy?
His average driving distance is 318 yards the past 12 months. So I don't know where that ranks, but yeah.
That's long.
It is.
At least it is to me.
I mean, when I'm following
Chris Kirk hitting fairways at 270 yards yesterday, that's long.
I mean, it'd be interesting if he would give it a try. I mean, he basically, I think he's got, 2 seconds now? So he's basically got a playoff berth wrapped up. I mean, you know, maybe he says, you know, let's give this a try.
Especially if you're an early tee time on Sunday, right?
Oh gosh, yes.
If you're an early tee time on Sunday, why not have a little fun and maybe make yourself some money with a big drive?
Right, because anybody who does it's certainly going to get some attention. No, can't help. Mm-hmm. Can't hurt the old name brand value.
No, not at all. And if you get it up there, you maybe make an eagle and move up the leaderboard too.
Exactly. Did Bryson make any eagles though? Because you know, even though he clears it, that was like a tough little.
It was, yeah, because he was in deep rough and he would have to chip up there. I don't know if he made any eagles, to be quite honest with you, if he had tap in birdies. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know that he made any eagles. We'd have to go back and look at that up, but I'm not sure of it. I still think, though, that he was able to, you know, play that strong wedge game through that thickness, because the same strength he has off the tee, he gets through the he gets through thick rough too. But yeah, I don't honestly don't remember if he made an eagles.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, well, obviously, I mean, I didn't get to watch it because of other circumstances, but yeah, it's just I love the fact that people are now going to at least think about this, saying, "Hey, this is an interesting strategy thing to consider."
And it'll be fun to see, like, okay, maybe I don't take the whole thing on, but what line do I take on? That'll be fun to watch. Are we ready to get into the field here? We got anything else about the course?
I don't think so. Yeah, again, Shane Bryce is not here. It's a decent field, but not the strongest field. So, I don't know. It makes for an interesting week. And I think when we get into the 10Ks, I think that's kind of where I'm at.
I think it'll be interesting, too. Let's see what we get. And let's start right where you mentioned it. In the 10K plus tier, it starts at the top. John Rahm, he's 11-4. Rory McIlroy is 11-1. Victor Hovland's 10-8. Scotty Scheffler, 10-6. Hideki Matsuyama, 10-3. Presume that Bryson would have been in this 10K tier. So instead, you get these five. Skeeter, you got a favorite?
No. It's a tier that, as somebody who usually plays 10K, at least one guy, I mean, I have two guys starred, but I'm not sure I'm going here. I just think there's a lot of value in the nines, and, you know, like, obviously, Rahm and Rory are rating out statistically the best, but it's not like they're dominant 1-2s right now. Like, you know, by Rahm standards, that when you're paying 11-4, you know, I know he's second, century, third at Farmers, but 14th at Amex, 10th at Phoenix, 21st at Genesis, like, for Rahm, it's a little bit of a slump. Rory kind of does the same thing. Granted, Rory has his courses that he likes. Rahm, I don't think, has played here.
To my knowledge, he is not either. That's my perception here, too, is that he is not.
And Rory loves the course, so, I mean...
Loves it.
I mean, the one who rates out best for me, statistically, a guy that I don't play a ton, is Scotty Scheffler. I mean, he won at Phoenix, losing strokes and approach, bounced back next week at 7th at Genesis, 20th at Farmers, and I think there may be a little bit of a Farmers correlation here. When you look at some of the past winners, their success have also played Torrey Pines pretty well, but Scheffler, for me, over the past 36 rounds, number one, birdies are better, 13th tee to green in approach, 17th par 5 strokes, and 18th bogey avoidance. Like, he's top half in everything, but I'm not sure he's better than some of the guys in the nines. So he's my favorite play statistically at 10-6, but as I said, I don't know if this is a tier I'm going to go to.
So I'm kind of with you in that I'm not sure who my favorite is, but I do think it is a tier I'll get involved in. I think Rory McIlroy's got to be my favorite. His course history here is just immaculate. He's an all-time great, right? He's already a Golf Hall of Famer. He has not been playing terrible. 10th at the Genesis in a better field than this. He was third back in the Dubai Desert Classic, 12th at Abu Dhabi. Again, not necessarily the PGA Tour caliber play, but it's still a very solid group of players he's going up against finishing there. And then his course history here is immaculate, including a win. So for me, I guess I go Rory by default, but I don't feel, you know, as you kind of broke down the field, the one guy you didn't mention, I don't feel that there's a ton of a distance between Rory and Hideki Matsuyama based on price, with Hideki being the cheapest. He's had a relatively good course history. It's not as good as Rory's, but I kind of find myself with those two as my 1-2, but that's because I know they've played here and played well, and both have had some good success in the recent history. Hideki's actually kind of had an up and down history because he's had an 18th, a 21st, a 6th, but he's also had some 30ths, 40ths finishes as well.
See, and that's my problem, is I don't want to pay the 10Ks for that history. And Hideki is a little bit boom bust. Like, I saw him on DraftKings Sportsbook this morning at 28-1. I nearly blind bet him, and I'm kind of glad I didn't at this point. Like, I mean, I would have no problem with it. It has great value. I don't know. When I don't see that great of a history in the 10Ks, it does concern me. Like, it's not just he's played two times and doesn't have a great history. Okay, I can forgive that. But when it's almost every year and best finishes 18th, that's a little bit of a concern to me.
Eh, now, he did finish sixth. It's, again, we're going back to 2016, but he did finish sixth there. So if you're going back longer history, he's had a 21st to sixth and an 18th there. So recent history isn't great, but last year was. So I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think that, again, I don't think that there is a huge difference with this tier as a whole. Is there one that stands out as a fade?
No, I mean, Rom just probably because of price and the fact that, you know, if he's going to finish, even if he finishes 10th, like, that's a great result in the overall, but from a fantasy perspective, I'm paying 11-4. I need a little bit better than 10th. And for guys that are played here, he does, I mean, has that farmer's comp, so, and he, I think he's good enough to play anywhere, but just the price is just a little prohibitive, and I think I can do some damage in the 9s, so that's kind of where I'm looking at.
I had Rahm as my 4th out of the group and Scheffler as my 5th. As good as he's playing, I just don't know that Scheffler is as good as Rory. As good, he's not as good as Rahm, so if I'm going on blind faith without any course history, I'd have to play Rahm even for the slight bit more than Scheffler because Rahm's a more dominant player. So I'm fading Scheffler, but, I mean, it's not that I think he's a terrible play. It's just that without any course history here, I don't think Scheffler is at Hideki Matsuyama's level. And then you talk about what you could pay. I mean, for $1,000 less than Scheffler, I can get some things I'm very interested in, too.
Well, you and I might be very similar to the 9s, then.
Well, should we get to the 9s?
Yes.
Sungjae Im, 99. Then it's Will Zalatoris at 94, a big gap. Tyrrell Hatton's 93. Matthew Fitzpatrick, Matt Fitzpatrick, 92. Mark Leishman, 91. Adam Scott, 9K even. Skeeter, where are you going here?
Well, I'm gonna go a little bit off script. I'm going to tell you the one guy I have not starred in is Sungjae Im.
Interesting.
Like, I don't know why. Now, granted, I know I got burned by him last week at Honda, but I mean, he rates out well, but is he really $500 more expensive than Hatton or Zalatoris or even Leishman? Scott's? Like, I don't know on that. So from just a price perspective, I'm just kind of looking like, you know what? I think I'd rather replace Scheffler or play Hovland above him. I'd rather play all the guys significantly cheaper. I don't think I'm playing Sungjae.
I'm okay with that. I think that he's my fifth. There's actually my fade is a different guy. He's my fifth. But the other, there's four other guys at the very bottom, I think, that just stand out as I could play every one of these guys. I think Mark Leishman is my favorite. He's playing good. His tournament history is good as well. I mean, Mark Leishman, for a lot of reasons, makes a ton of sense. So he's going to be my favorite at 9,100. But I think I'm with you. There's going to be some lineups where I'll start with three guys from this tier and then see what I can do from there.
I mean, my favorites is Adam Scott. I mean,
sure.
He does have a third here in the past, granted 2014. Missed cut last time he played in 2020. But, you know, I think we had some questions like, what was he going to be like coming at Genesis? And he was fourth there, 38th at Phoenix, was ninth in Dubai, 10th at Abu Dhabi. So, I mean, he's playing really well. We've seen him have success in Florida before. I think he won, did he win Honda? And then the following week he won at Trump Doral when the WGC used to be there. Like, I know he won back.
That sounds right.
I forget if it was Honda first or obviously it wasn't this one, but so, I mean, he's in really good form.
Could have been the players rounds. The year he won the players.
Oh, yeah, he's also won. Yeah, so maybe this is the only one he hasn't won in Florida. I don't know if he's won Valspar or not, but I mean, again, top half in every stat I look at, 8th in approach, 10th in that proximity from 200-plus yards, which is big for me this week. 11th opportunities gained. I mean, the putter, he's actually 11th putting, which is a shocker for Adam Scott. Rates up pretty well across short and long-term models, and at 9K, I mean, I'm going to assume that he's a little popular, but maybe there's enough names in this other 9 that people are just going to kind of, you know, he won't get super popular.
For argument's sake, I'll go Tyrrell Hatton as my number 2 with Scotty being my number 3. Hatton winning this one a couple of years ago. He's had a good course history before he had won it too. He's playing very well. So Tyrrell Hatton, I think he's had, now granted the Hero Open is one of them, but he's had 3 straight top 10s. With a 6th at Abu Dhabi and a 4th at the Dubai Desert Classic. So Tyrrell Hatton's back in form. This, of course, he plays really well. He's my number 2. But you mentioned the putter with Adam Scott. If you haven't seen it yet, the players commercial that's been running for the last, I don't know. It seems like it's been running forever because I have that song stuck in my head that they, I think it's Fleetwood Mac, they play to it. But Adam Scott's talking about winning the Players, and he's like talking about making an 8-footer to win it. And he's like, it's so funny the way he's talking about it. And I proved to myself and everyone else when it comes down to it, I can make an 8-footer to win it if I have to. It just made me laugh. But if you catch that commercial, hopefully you get a big of a kick as I did out of it. But I'm with you. I'll have Adam Scott in lineups, but I'll have Tyrrell Hatton as my number two. And it's really just a splitting hairs.
I mean, Hatton, I think, could go overlooked. Actually, you know what? Hey, I have something here. Let's take a look at some early popularity, shall we? Hatton's the lowest projected owned at like 11%. Beautiful. Great. My second guy I was going to mention is the most popular, not a shock, is Zalatoris. Second at Farmer, so if there's a comp there, I mean, that'll make sense. He's fourth in proximity from 200+. Fifth tee to green, ninth in approach.
Fair enough.
All right, sorry about that. I think we had a technical glitch, or I don't know if it was James or me, or both of us. Maybe Zalatoris is cursing us, I don't know. But I think I was saying, fourth in proximity for 200+ yards, fifth tee to green, ninth in approach, second bogey avoidance, with Zalatoris just a putter. So 9,400 is a lot, but, you know, we've seen all these guys who... getting their wins, you know, Zalatoris is due for a win, and he does well at these big events, so I think he makes a lot of sense.
You know, it's funny, because coming into this, Zalatoris was going to be my fade, and I guess at this point I've already gotten to the point where he is my fade, so I'm going to leave him there, but okay. maybe now my fade becomes more ownership. I just looked at Zalatoris, and I thought, I'm not going to pay for him when I know that Hatton and Leishman and Scott are proven here. And you're right. Zalatoris has been very good as of late. I was fading him again in this tier. I didn't think as much of him as I thought of those bottom guys. And Sung J.M. has had some good success here. But Zalatoris was 10th here last year. So he's my fade. I don't feel strongly about it. I feel less so after you say he's the most popular. Maybe that's a good thing in the end.
And maybe that could get me off of him. I mean, Leishman, another just immaculate course history here with the win, a second, a seventh. Miscut last year, but...
He was in a bad way last year, and he's playing much better.
Yeah, and you know we've mentioned everybody in the tier except Matt Fitzpatrick, who has three straight top tens here.
I want to like him.
I think he lost the year. He was second the year Molinari. I think had that great putting Sunday to win, which I think I back to back winners one and done because I had him at Hatton. I did not have Bryson last year one and done.
I couldn't tell you who I had last year one and done at this course.
I couldn't either.
That's funny because I remember having Shane Lowry in one and done at the Honda last year, and I was like bemoaning it to myself yesterday, but I don't remember who I used at this place.
Or maybe I just screw it and used Lee Westwood. I might have used him.
Potentially. I don't know.
But yeah, no, this is why I like the 9 tier. And again, I like the low 9 tier, so I can play 3 of these guys. I can play 2, dip in the 8s, dip in the 7s, and... not worry about the 6s. Granted, it is a higher percentage to make the cut, so you can take some more risks, but I don't know. I mean, how many people are going to start their lineups at Zalatoris or lower?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. I certainly will start one or two in that regard. And as to Fitzpatrick, I'll have him in my lineup still. I just couldn't make him a favorite with the recent withdrawal from the injury. But I'm with you. I'm with you, except for the Zalatoris. I think we'll be different there. We'll see how that plays out. You ready to go to the 8s?
Yep.
Let's do it. It's still Florida time, so that starts with Billy Horschel at 8,900. Sam Burns is 88. Max Homa, 87. Taylor Gooch, 86. Russ Henley, 85. Jason Kokrak, 84. Paul Casey's 83. 8,100 for Sergio Garcia and Keith Mitchell. 8K even. Cam Tringali. Skeeter, you said you could start with the 9s and dip into the 8s for a couple, too. Who are you dipping at? Where are you going for your favorite?
Well, first of all, it's weird that there's no 8,200, that there's two 81s. Like, did they just – somebody hit a little glitch or something? Like, that's odd.
Maybe one – Sergio and Keith Mitchell, you just can't separate them.
Yes. Yes, that's – That's exactly what I think of when I think of that one. I don't know where he's going to rate. Oh, great. One of the more popular plays this range. Terrific. Actually, he's kind of medium. 8,700 Max Homa. That's kind of open. Maybe people were overlooking him a little bit. But, you know, missed the Farmers on a number. 15th at the Tournament Champions. 14th at Phoenix, 10th at Genesis. Really hasn't done anything great. His putter has actually been playing pretty well. And we know Hoba kind of likes to pop up and win these bigger events or show up from time to time. Nothing over 36 rounds really stands out outside of good opportunities gained, good par 5, and good proximity from 200-plus yards. But I like the winning upside here. And, you know, you think Riviera could potentially be another little bit of a comp course. These tougher historic courses. 8,700. Feels a little pricey on him. Apparently, he's not scaring people away, but I still do like him.
It's my favorite as well. Homa. Oh,
okay.
He's played well here. He is absolutely surging. Like, Homa is moving into that next level of player. He's got a handful of wins. No, not a handful, but what's he got? 3 wins now. One at Riviera, Wells Fargo, and then he won the Fall Swing somewhere last year in California. That is escaping me. Thank you very much. He's moving himself into that upper echelon player caliber of players. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was looking at futures bets on him at the Masters coming up. I didn't pull the trigger yet, but I was looking because I'm a degenerate and that's what I do. But I like Max Homa too, so I'm right there with you. For better or worse, he's my favorite play as well.
All right, who is the better player? Max Homa or Billy Horschel overall?
Max Homa right now is going to get my nod because Billy Horschel, I think, has peaked. I mean, overall, Horschel's resume is better, right? FedEx Cup champion. WGC. I'm pretty sure Billy Horschel's won some, has been on the Ryder Cup teams. I don't think that Max Homa has yet. So, I mean, look, I'm guessing Horschel's been on the Ryder Cup, right?
I don't know that.
I think he has. I don't know that to be 100% sure either. I would assume he has. At any rate, I'd say right now Horschel has the better career because of that FedEx Cup championship. But I will say that Max Homa will have the better career when it's all said and done.
Okay. Like, I think they're in the same tier. Like, that's why I kind of threw that out there. Like, I think they're probably the same tier.
That's fair.
Okay. Max Homa or Paul Casey?
So, Paul Casey is my number 3 in this tier, by the way.
Again, I'm sorry. I'm not talking this week necessarily.
I know, you're talking about career. I mean, what's Casey got? 10 career wins worldwide? Homa's got 3.
What's Casey's best win? Like, BMW over Europe?
Yes, that would be his best win.
If he's even won it, I don't know if he has.
Valspar? I don't know.
Let's look at Paul Casey. Boy, we're going down some rabbit holes, or I should say we. I'm going down some rabbit holes.
That's all right.
You know, hey, we're talking about golfers in the field this week, so
that's accurate. And Paul Casey's been playing decent as well. He just doesn't have that big one, but Max Homa may not get that big one, and it might come down to the fact that Paul Casey's the wrong age because he played in the Tiger Woods heyday, and there are going to be some guys that get the big one in this generation of golfer if no one's, you know, if Rory doesn't go on a run or Brooks or Rahm doesn't go on a run and become some dominant player the way Tiger was. Some of these guys that we're talking about, even Billy Horschel to a lesser extent, played in that Tiger era where there were just fewer majors to be had.
Yeah, so his best win is a BMW PGA in 2009. He won a match play, the HSBC World Match Play, which I don't think that was in 2009. He's had some good finishes. He won the Irish Open, but yeah, I would say his best win is the BMW PGA, and he has just 19 wins in his career.
19 wins. I don't know, where was I getting 10 then? I'm wondering if some of those wins are, maybe it's 10 wins between like Euro and PGA. I don't know. I swear I heard that was like, I feel like his last win, they were talking about getting into double digits and breaking some kind of ceiling there.
Okay.
I could be making all this up.
Oh, in my head. Of course, yeah. No, Paul. Anyway, back to the matter at hand. Yes, Paul Casey is among my golfers I'm looking at, and he looks to be the second most popular in this range. Great, I've chosen all the popular ones. Kokrak stands out for me too.
Big time.
Good course history. Been playing better. I think he kind of went through some struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Hatton. But he's starting to pull it around. 17th at Sony, 26th at Genesis. Gain strokes putting both times. Approaches are good. around the green and struggle slightly, but nothing significant there. So he's another one I have, and I have one more, but I'll wait to see if you have anybody else.
Oh, Cracky's my number two, big time. It was Homa, then it was Kokrak, then it was Casey. Okay. Those three kind of stand out amongst the rest for me. Kudos, though, I got to say to Billy Horschel for a nice comeback minus two on the weekend. He was my one and done pick last week. So his resiliency got me a few, I don't know, $1,000 or something.
I mean, I had Lowry, so I mean, I finally actually did something worthwhile in one and done for once. Yay. The other guy who's going to garner some attention, mainly because his first two appearances here, he went fifth and sixth, 43rd last year, is Keith Mitchell. And he rates out very well. Rates out very well in par five strokes gained. Bogey avoidance, birdies are better. Really, he rates out everything fine except approach over 36 rounds, which is a slight issue, but everything else is kind of there. So he's going to garner some attention there, too, at 8,100.
Yeah, he's playing really well right now, too. He'll be in the mix for me as well. Is there anyone else that stands out? You got a fade for me.
I do have a fade. It's going to be Sam Burns, despite the fact that I will be using him in our league. But he's just, you know, I think he's going through that little slump that sometimes we see. A guy coming off a hot year and, you know, he's just trying to maybe figure some things out, including this, the new expectations or whatever it is. But I think I got to see a little bit more out of him before I'm ready to go back to Burnsy.
When you look at recent form, it just stands out like a sore thumb. Tournament of Champions, he was 19th, which is fine. You know, it's middle of the pack in that field, quite honestly. And then he missed the cut the last three times out. So I'm with you, Sam Burns. I mean, I got nothing against the guy, but he's been partying with Andrew Whitworth in that Super Bowl championship, I guess, a little bit too much lately.
I mean, I'd rather bet Mitchell or Homa at 45-1 than Burns at 45-1.
As would I.
Or even Kokrak at 50-1.
I probably will be betting Kokrak this week.
Yeah, that's
but
that's
I'm a Kokrak guy. Anything else from the 8Ks before we take it to the 7s?
I don't have anything.
All right, 7Ks, we got a decent list of players still. I think a bunch of names, a handful that I was using last week, I may turn back to. But Skeeter, I'll start with you. You got a name that stands out as your favorite play in 7K.
There's some Skeeter favorites in this range, which I will be using. I would say probably my favorite is Chris Kirk. Another guy with a really good history. Played well last week. Hopefully that doesn't, you know, the weekend struggles, the finishes don't hurt him so much. But 7,500, he rates out very well with the short-term models. Good tee to green player, which is always important here. My only concern is that his proximity for 200-plus yards is not the best. And that is a little bit of a concern. But everything else is okay. Good scrambler. And we, I mean, coming off, you know, Honda, where this course will play similar with a good history at 7,500, and he's had some success in Florida. I think it's a fair price for Kirk.
I will go back to Kirk. I mean, the T7 last week hurt me at the book, but he was a wonderful addition to my lineup, so I'll certainly return to that. I got a few guys I like. I think I got to go with Gary Woodland, and his fifth place finish last week just has me thinking Gary Woodland might just well be back. I hope I'm right. Like, I'm not the only person that likes Gary Woodland. He's a very popular player. But I want to cheer for the guy. And he played well a week ago. The price seems, I mean, he's cheaper this week. He was in the 8Ks last week. So 7,800 is a drop in price after a fifth place finish. He finished well on Sunday while other people struggled down the stretch. Now, granted, he made a little bit of a mess of 18. It probably cost him a few dollars. He wasn't going to win either way. But Gary Woodland hasn't played here in a while, but a 20th and a 21st back in 2014, 2015. I like Gary Woodland a lot here, man.
Yeah, no, he's on my list too. Played really well last week, so no issues there. There's, of course, one guy I have to mention, not Tommy. Tommy's like
I figured you'd like Tommy. He's got good course history, too, or at least some ups and downs, but he's had a few top tens.
His form, though, is just not there for me right now.
He missed on the number. You're telling me you're not going to have Tommy in a single lineup? He missed on the number last week. I'm not trying to talk you into it.
Oh, well, I mean, hey, I don't need much talking to play Tommy. Again, where's Molinari at? If Molinari is playing,
interesting that he's not in the field.
Yeah. 12th in Dubai, 48th at Abu Dhabi. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. don't know what to do with Tommy. I think there's other guys I like. But, I mean, why play Tommy? I mean, actually, I can always play Tommy. At 79, went for 200 less. I'll take another Englishman. My boy, Justin Rose.
I see him there.
Decent history. Again, if there is a Farmers comparison, he has won at Farmers. So, I think that kind of comes into play. Let me pull up this thing. Yeah, didn't do great at Pebble. He might have been... No, he just had a horrible Sunday. It was 78E. But 6 at Farmers, 33rd American Express. Like, he's making cuts. Seems to be playing okay. And he can show up from time to time. Second putting, which... Oh, wow. Didn't see that one coming. 15 opportunities gained, but... That's probably just more of a Justin. I don't need much to play Justin Rose.
What if I told you I'd rather play Christian Bezuidenhout at the same price?
I get it, but man, he's just. I feel like I played him every week this year. Oh,
he was decent last week. He had the miscut to the previous tournament. Now I'm scrambling. Genesis. Where did he miss his cut at?
Genesis, and he missed by a long shot.
He sure did. He was plus five, but. Dude, 25th at Honda, 14th at Pebble Beach. I mean, if you're looking at the comp, he was 46th at Farmers and did not finish well there on Sunday,
he's
73.
He's had a good history here, too.
He's had two good finishes here, yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can agree to disagree. 7th and 18th is what he's finished the last 2 years here as Christian Bezuidenhout.
I mean, I don't have a problem with him. I mean, we've seen him pop up in majors, so that makes sense. Matt McNeely rates out really well in par 5 and proximity from 200 plus, and I think, has he played here before?
I feel like Matt McNeely's played wherever he's wanted to at this point. That's probably with limited 49th exception.
In this cut, so never mind. But again, he at least hits the par 5s, the proximity from 200 plus, which I think are key. So that's got my upper 7s. I got more once we get into the lower ones.
Well, you mentioned Kirk. At the same price, Luke List and Cam Young both interest me as well. Are those players that interest you, or is it simply you're taking a stand with one $7,500 guy?
No, Cam Young has interested me. Luke List, actually, I overlooked him. I just looked at he's got a decent little history here.
Mm-hmm.
Putting is always the Luke List specialty that you got to be worried about, but everything else rates out pretty well for him. Tee to green, proximity. Par 5, so no, I'll give Luke List a look.
Okay. No, I'll take your advice from the lower half of this tier.
I mean, Kevin Knott, 7,400. I realize he can kill a lineup pretty quickly, but he also, I mean, we get these random Kevin Knott wins. I mean, his putter has been cold, but he actually is a decent Bermuda putter historically. His approach has been good. Miss at Genesis, I think I played him that week, but 20th at Sony, 13th at Century. Third of the Tour Championship, which would have been nearby. So, I mean, he's in a decent little stretch. I think 7,400 is too cheap on him. I'll go with another recent winner, Tom Hoagie, who he's been playing these tougher courses well recently. Second approach, fifth opportunities gained, 10th birdies are better. He's up there. And then, you know, I'll give a look at Thomas Peters at 7K, just because, you know, I know he missed at Riviera, but he's been playing very well over in Europe. Sebastian Munoz kind of popped out over some of the longer term models or shorter term models. He's just basically consistent, and then he doesn't rate out well statistically. But hey, he made a cut last week. I think he was threading a top 10 for a little bit. But I'm going back to the Lee Westwood at 7,100 just because he's my.
Okay, guy. I was worried you weren't going to say his name. You had me freaking out a little bit.
No, if I'm already skipping over Fleetwood, I'm not skipping out over Fleetwood and Westwood.
Keegan Bradley, does he do anything for you?
I mean,
he's had two top tens here, and he makes the cut every year.
All right, here, let me go down this hole. Keegan Bradley or Kevin Na? Long.
Keegan Bradley, and it may come down to 1 4-day period. Kevin Na's career is better outside of the PGA Championship, but Keegan Bradley's got the big dog.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just – and they're both kind of the same kind of boom-bust, but at least recently that's Kevin Na wins. Keegan throws in, like, a first-round leader and then threatens to miss the cuts and then maybe hangs around till Sunday and fades. But
Na is easily the better player over the last half a decade. I would grant that.
Yes.
just curious because one, Keegan is maybe number six of my six guys in our league that I'm playing. So I've got to decide him and a few other guys. And he's been playing okay lately, and he has a little decent course history at 7,300. I'm like, yeah, you know, Keegan stands out to me versus some of these other guys down here. But I don't know that I have any other names that I'm interested in the bottom half. Is there a fade that stands out to you?
I mean, I got two. One's your guy.
Yeah, they're both 7,400.
Yep. your guy, Matthew Wolf. Number one, proximity from 200+. That's good. Everything else, not so much. And then until he shows any life, Patrick Reed.
I will bet Wolf with that distance here, but I'll have to make an addendum to that, an adjustment to that. I don't know if I'm going to bet him or not. I'll have him in a lineup, but yeah, he has been horrible. I mean, he was the bottom of the leaderboard. He made Jared Wolf look like the better Wolf this week.
Oh.
He did. They were after the first day, they were the bottom two players on the leaderboard. Jared Wolf was tied with a few other players, and I guess alphabetically he made it to the bottom. So when you go to the PGA Tour app, the bottom two guys were spelled differently, Wolf and Wolf.
Oh. Too bad you couldn't play that exacta.
The worst two? Oh, goodness. Yeah, that one would be easier to fix if you were a player.
Yeah, or I mean, I know we're about to get the 6Ks. Are you playing the Rory exacta this week?
Probably not. Not a great finish for the Bond villain, but it was a good first day anyway.
I mean, hey, at least his fashion was top.
It was on point. I didn't actually go to the bar with that hat on, just in case you were wondering.
Aww.
Well, it's just because I didn't go to the bar that day, for what it's worth.
Okay, well,
anything else from 7K before we take it to the 6Ks?
No.
Some names in here, man. I found some names that I have interest in. I'm not sure if I want you to talk me in or out of these particular players, but I'll ask you first before we get to some, because I found some right at the top, and I even found a guy at 6K stone minimum that I think is underpriced.
I might know who that guy is.
Ooh, well, let me ask you who your favorite is first.
There's actually only one guy starting a 6K range, and it's Pat Perez.
Okay.
Who... What is his history here? I don't think he has a spectacular history. No, he's got a 17th, a couple missed cuts, but he's made what, seven cuts over the past few years here. But when I just look, you know, 6th at Farmers, 9th at Pebbles, 39th at Genesis. Farmers and Genesis, tougher courses. He's played well, loses strokes off the tee, which might not be the best thing with all the water here, but his approach has been good. He's been neutral putting, been good around the green. Like, He hits some of the things I'm looking for here, and at 6,600, that's enough for me to be willing to take a chance on a wily veteran. Good approach, good putting numbers, decent par 5, decent proximity 200+. Just doesn't give himself a ton of opportunities, but that's not necessarily the worst thing at this course. So I think Pat Perez at 6,600, he's the only guy that stood out to me. So if you got some names, let's hear them.
Okay, now, this doesn't fit the Farmers narrative, but Dylan Fratelli at 6,800 missed a cut here last year, was 18th the year before. He has been 26th or better in three of his last four finishes. 16th at the Honda, 26th at Genesis, missed the cut at Waste Management at plus one. At Pebble Beach was 24th, missed the cut at Farmers. He had an 81 on Friday, so obviously a very bad day there. But Dylan Fratelli seems like a good buy at 6,800. So I'm going to say he's my favorite play, but I have a guy at 6K that I'm telling you is going to be in a lineup too. I want to know if we're talking the same player. So I'll ask you first, who were you thinking at 6K?
Well, first of all, thank you on Fratelli. Yeah. Those are some Honda Genesis. Yeah. That's a player I think I might need to consider. And again, I mean, I can always go with a former John Deere Classic winner. So, I mean, that's no problem. 6K. Who was it? Let me pull up my stats here. Nick Watney?
Absolutely. How is he 6K? We're going to go back to the same three tournaments. At the Honda, he finished 30th. The Genesis, he was 55th. He missed the cut at Waste Management, 64th at Pebble Beach. Not great, but whatever. At the Farmers, he missed the cut, was plus four. But he's made three of four consecutive cuts. How is he 6K even? Like, if he was 6,500, I wouldn't be sitting here going he's underpriced. But 6K even seems like, dude, if you build a crazy top-heavy lineup and you need a 6K player, I have trouble thinking I've found a better one than that in recent times.
again, this is the week to do it, too, since it's a higher made cut percentage. Now, granted, that also means that you probably need a 40th place out of him, but at 6K, I mean, making a, you know, if he opens up everybody else you could ever want to play, like,
yeah,
I mean, I think you could play, what, 4-9K guy? I mean, maybe just load up on all the nines. Actually, if I did that, that's an interesting thought.
I mean, once you put a 6K guy in there, your average remaining for players is 8,800. So you could load up those 4-9K guys we liked and still have a decent chunk of change left.
So even with Zalatoris, so I started with Watney, Zalatoris, Hatton, Leishman, Scott. I still have 7,200.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You get Dylan Vitale and have $400 left.
Or I can just play Lee Westwood.
Well, that's true, too. You could do that.
I mean, you know, I got a brand to represent here. Ooh, that's intriguing.
6K Nick Watney. He's going to be at least one of my lineups, if not two. I'm not going to go crazy with him. But, hey, I mean, no Charlie Hoffman in the field. Who's Charlie's Zurich Classic partner?
Nick Watney.
You got to do what you got to do, brother.
And he has not played here in recent years.
No course history there.
Let's see if he had to have played earlier in his career, maybe when he was a little... Okay. All right. Let me see here. Missed a cut in 2007, 28th in 2008, 4th in 2009, 64th in 2010, 59th in 2012, 45th in 2013. So he's only missed one cut here in six appearances. Granted, he hasn't played here since 2013. Putter's been all over the place. Approach numbers have been good. Off the tee's been good. Yeah, he was one, like, I was going to mention this to me, I don't hate him play, but now all of a sudden this is a potential, why the heck not?
I better get to the sports book before he lowers from 350-1.
Ah, no, it's like crazy now.
Well, okay, maybe I'll see what he might have plus odds on the made cut. They don't have those numbers out yet for my sports book that I look at. That stuff doesn't come out till later.
That's an interesting bet this week. You know, how will they adjust with the
smaller field?
By the way, I can get Nick Watney at 500-1.
There you go. I mean, if you want to burn a dollar.
I mean, it's either that or I can bet Adam Schenck at 500-1.
Yeah, well, you know, we have options here. Is there anyone else at 6K you like in the 6Ks?
Nobody else really jumped out to me. I mean, Matt Walls has a great history, but his form is just not there.
Oh, 6,400, man. I'm willing to take a dive at that. Isn't that what he was? Because Wallace was on my radar, too. He's one of the names I wrote down. Yeah, he's on my radar here.
I mean, if I really want to get bold, you know, Minwoo Lee.
He's one of the guys I'm thinking about, but I'll probably play Bradley in our fantasy league.
I mean, Bo Hostler.
He's been playing better lately, man.
He has.
He's finding something.
I mean, in non-shocking fashion, it's all putting and short game. But good bogey avoidance, which would mean something here. I want to play Higo. He'll probably be one of my last decisions as far as our fantasy league goes. But Lee Hodges kind of popped out a little bit, but I'm not ready to go there.
What about Sean O'Hare? Was sixth at the Corn Ferry Tournament event a couple of weeks ago. Was 16th at Pebble Beach. Was 22nd going back to October in Bermuda. Was 58th at Fortinet. So I know I'm not talking about the cream of the crop events, but Sean O'Hare, where's he at? I know he had a good course history too. That's the reason I was interested in him. It might not be a very long one, but he's had a 7th and a 10th here.
4th in scrambling, 10th in bogey avoidance, 15th in par 5 strokes gained. Really bad proximity from 200 plus yards.
Fair enough. Danny Willett do anything for you?
No. I love
him. Only because he popped at the Honda a little bit.
Yeah, no.
Andrew Putnam. That's the last one I was looking at down here.
He was 4th last year. Where did I used him. What tournament did I use him? Was he part of my... Oh, he might have been part of my good my 7K win at Amex. Good at Pebble. This is Phoenix good. Yeah. Boy, I didn't realize he was this low. All right.
69. Yeah, 6,900.
Okay. Good approach, good scrambling, bad... Oh, bad for Trump. Proximity 200 plus. Okay.
Okay.
But you know what else? I mean, I'd rather play him than your boy Ricky.
I'm with you there. Ricky Fowler, the modern day Arnold Palmer without the majors.
Recently without wins, but let's.
But he's as cool. I guess he's not because he doesn't have the wins. So actually, no, he's not. Unfortunately,
yeah, but you know what? The kids love him. So I mean, that's a big marketing thing.
Is it still kids? I'm 44, dude. Is it the kids that still love him? The kids like Sam Burns and Will Zalatoris, man.
I don't know if the youngsters are quite on that board train yet. They still like Ricky because of his colors and.
I gotcha. I'm just saying it's not the kids anymore. It's not the kids that love Ricky anymore. The flat bill's out of style again.
Now some might like Zalatoris because of his looks, but you know, hey, whatever.
Anything else from? Well, we didn't do a fade, so we do have something else. Do you have a fade for me in the 6Ks? Or is it simply Ricky Fowler?
No, I'll go with another guy. I'll go with a guy. He used to be my guy, but he's fallen off. Henrik Stenson.
Amen to that. You know what was funny is I kept thinking this week watching the Honda, like, where'd Stenson come from? Because I'd be like doing something and listening, and it was Svensson, not Stenson.
Oh.
And I'd be like, how did Stenson get up the leaderboard? Did he just keep making? And I turn around like, it's Svensson. How many times are you gonna fall for it in one weekend, you moron? But I fell for it a lot.
By the way, are you playing your? By the way, I'm surprised. You know, if you would have said no to Nick Watney, I would have thought your other 6K guy would have been your guy. Anirban Lahiri.
I mean, will I use him? I don't know. Honestly, I don't know that I'll go to him. Hasn't made a cut in a while, so probably not. Although he missed the Honda on the number.
It was 46 at Farmers.
Genesis wasn't bad. You're right, 46 at Farmers. That's the last cut he made a month ago.
He doesn't bad approach numbers.
I am probably not. No, if I'm going 6K, dude, I'm going Nick Watney. Because I also looked at other guys. I looked at Norlander, who I was using a while ago. Maybe a season ago, and I was like, how is Norlander 6K even? And then I was looking at it, and I go, oh, that's how.
Like, I honestly don't remember seeing Norlander's name at all this year. He's like, has he been hurt? I'm like, oh, no, he's played 5 tournaments.
Yeah, he's just been in 6K purgatory where he's not been good.
Also, is it bad when I saw Ian Poulter play last week at Honda that I had zero recollection of Ian Poulter at Honda?
I knew he was in the field. Of course, the first thing I'm watching, like, ESPN Plus, I'm watching the pre-coverage, and they're talking about his pants, and I was like, oh, it's Ian Poulter time, there's the pants. No, he's falling off. Look, dude, he's got a good history, I think, at Honda. He has a good history here at Arnold Palmer, but I'm not interested in him at all, because he's just not getting it done anymore.
Yeah. By the way, I have to make the cut to miss the cut, but they don't have all players listed. John Rahm, minus 1,400 to make the cut.
That's zero interest in that. You already know. I wouldn't make that bet with your money.
I appreciate that. Plus 330 for Sungjae to miss the cut. Or Hideki.
I couldn't get involved in that either.
No, I couldn't either.
I got a fade for you. If you don't have a fade, I've got a fade.
I thought I mentioned Stenson as my fade.
Oh, you did say Stenson. I'm sorry. That's right. I'm such an idiot. I got caught up in the Svensson Stenson stuff. I do have a fade. It's not Ricky Fowler as much as it probably would be. He does have a course history that's pretty good. I'm fading Aaron Wise, dude. He hurt a couple of my lineups last week. And again, he missed on the number at plus 3. But of his last month of plus golf, he's made the cut once, and it was a T67. So Aaron Wise, my fade. By the way, I have to give an honorable mention thank you to Brendan Todd, who could have absolutely folded up with a plus 4 on Thursday last week. But he fought back, fired a 3-under, made the cut, didn't have a great weekend by any stretch, but finished T48 for some good lineup help. So kudos to Brendan Todd for fighting back after I thought he had submarined some lineups on Thursday.
Yeah, I think he was like plus 4 on one of the weekend rounds and fought back to like.
He was, yeah, he plus 4 on Thursday and then again on Saturday.
Yeah, so.
But just kudos to Brendan Todd. That's all I'm saying. I'm not necessarily saying I'm using him, but I bash him just for being a Pittsburgh guy for no real reason other than that. So I got to say thanks to my man for making the weekend.
I feel like we use him a little bit.
I do. I was all over him. I bet him and I used him a bunch last week.
I say, yeah, it feels like he's one of our guys, so. Maybe not our guys, but we use them enough.
Yeah, and I usually bash them from being for Pittsburgh just for no reason, just because I'm trying to be nicer about that. I mean,
are you trying to, since Furyk on a Champions Tour now, you got to replace him?
Yeah, got to have somebody. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know of any Baltimore or Cleveland golfers, so that leaves me with Pittsburgh to bash. I'm sure they're out there. I'm certain of it. Well, Skeeter, anything left from the DraftKings perspective? You want to talk a little one and done?
I'll also talk one and done. I mean, I had my best result last week. I probably won't top that again this year.
Well, I had a okay, blah, blah, Billy Horschel finish. So I sit in 2,396 plays.
Oh,
Billy Horschel, 16% owned last week. I used Rory at Genesis. I cannot use John Rahm here. Am I thinking big names after those guys? Am I just going to go down the field a little bit and, you know, maybe I think about a, I don't know, a Max Homer or a Jason Pocrack, Paul Casey type?
Yeah, I think this pays pretty well too, doesn't it?
I'd have to look that up. It was definitely a premier event on tour like 10 years ago when Arnold was still alive, and I'm sure that the purse and the prestige of winning Arnie's event were higher then than they are now, but I'm kind of talking out of the side of my butthole. I don't really know that to be true.
Okay, I don't know if I want to go down that route anymore.
you don't. I don't know what the purse is, but I do know that this field used to be a little stronger when Arnie was alive, right?
Right, but it's still an invitational, so they still get pretty good money on this. So, boy. He's one of these 9K guys, you know. Leishman makes sense. Or have you already used him?
I don't think I've used Big Mark
yet. Scott.
Scott, Leishman,
Hatton.
Hatton are all three guys that I would think to use here.
I just quickly, before you do the research, just chose a Paul Casey. But, you know, I might go Adam Scott here.
At what point do folks that are, I don't know what place you're in, I still don't have $1 million.
I did. Thank you, Shane Lowry. I'm in 1,635th place.
At what point do you start thinking, okay, I've got to get different from the crowd? Because I assure you, if I'd have known 16% was going to be on Billy Horschel last week, I don't care if you, I would have picked him if you told me he was going to win, but that's the only way.
See, this is why I drafted Billy Horschel. I don't have to use him in DFS or one and done because I never get him right there. I just play him every week in the league, and when he does well, great. If he does bad, oh well, good for me in DFS. Like, it's a can't lose to Billy Horschel. I've never gotten that guy right. Go Gators. I don't think you panic yet.
I mean, we haven't had any majors. We haven't had the players yet, but I'm just starting to find myself just in the doldrums of picking the 10% owned player that finishes middle of the pack, and I just sit here and do nothing, and I haven't made any movement. I suppose it's better than falling away from the crowd, too.
Well, but, I mean, you still have to choose players who can actually win the tournaments. Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure this is the week to go say, hey, you know what? I want to play Ian Poulter.
It's not a Nick Watney week.
But, yeah, no. I'm not sure Ian Poulter is going to go win. Or this isn't a Kevin Kisner week. You know, save Kisner for like Heritage or
something short.
Right, Colonial.
Although we didn't mention him here. He had like two top tens back in the day in the scores. When you were talking Kevin Na, I was looking at Kisner's finishing.
Which is weird, because this doesn't feel like
a not Kisner necessarily course. No, but.
But no, yeah. For me, I kind of like one of these 9K guys. You know this. As far as DraftKings, the Zalatoris to Scott range. I think there's, I mean, if you want to use Rory here, I don't think that's an issue.
No, I would use him. He was my first inkling, but I used him at Genesis. Ugh. Not that that was terrible, but again, it was one of those, he finished T10, but he was 10% owned, so I got 300,000, but so did everyone else.
I mean, I used Dustin at Genesis. He missed the cut, so I mean, that's just great.
Yeah, I'll take the volatility instead of a bunch of T24s that get you nowhere in a one and done. I'll take wins and miss cuts.
Right, and that's what you have to do. You have to kind of play for that. And, you know, at least Adam Scott does have winning upside and winning pedigree.
For sure.
So, you know, whereas, you know, like even your boy Keegan, I don't think this is the time to do it yet.
I don't think I'm going to use him in one and done, but I will use him in DraftKings. I promise you that.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Even though I'm not playing Keegan, but I don't hate it.
I have to use him because if I don't use him there and I don't use him in our league, he'll win.
Yeah, he also fits one of those guys I just don't get right. Isn't it funny how we just have those, how we all have those guys? Oh, yeah.
And then you find, dude, I'm telling you, that's why some guys like a Lucas Glover, that's how they end up on my banned list. It's not because they're terrible. It's because they only do bad when I use them, so I may as well just stop using them. So that's one way to get on the banned list is to, just for me to pick you in the wrong week. It doesn't mean anything about that person's play. It just means I can't get them right, so I may as well just stop trying.
This is like how Justin Rose was on your banned list for a while.
He is. He's off right now. We'll see if I use him this week. We'll see. We'll see.
He'll lull you in. You'll use him in the Masters, and he'll cut again.
Yep, and then he'll bite me in the throat, suck my blood, and there's the vampire. Skeeter, you got anything else for this wonderful Arnold Palmer Invitational?
I do not.
Well, I am certainly looking forward to it. Looking forward to, this is just my time of year to sit around and watch golf, so I can't wait till it's Thursday again to watch golf and hopefully have some sweats that pan out, but it was nice to have a sweat this weekend all the same. I hope you can find yourself back in that winning circle if I'm not sitting in it, brother.
Same with you. I mean, as I keep saying, you're overdue for a win, so.
I am. That's not a good thing, though. Hopefully we crack the code this week. Well, Skeeter, good luck to you. Good luck to everybody else. I appreciate you listening. And for Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams. This has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.